This is Reuven Levy, Mechut Shav Chesed Yeshiva, learning with Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Reuven, and Rabbi Avraham. The holy text, otherwise known as Gemara Brachot, the ninth chapter, Perek HaRo'eh, Daf Samach, Amud Aleph.
60A.
Which you can find on JerusalemCast.com.
Along with everything else you need. Ever. Told. So, gentlemen, what do you want to do? Do you want to go over? No? Or do you want to go move forward?
Move forward.
Abhinachman said move forward. Okay, so let's.
I understand. Now you explain again, I don't understand.
That's right, every time you do the point of Chazara is not so that you learn something again and again and again. I've learned this, I know this. The point of Chazara, apparently, so they say, is that when you learn it for the second time, it's as if you're learning it for the first time. Every time you come back, you're starting afresh as if you know nothing, which is good because that's what we do. Okay, so let's just recap then in short. What we learned.
That's what we learned yesterday. The second kana is like the first.
Depending on who you speak to.
Not like the first.
So we saw. What did we see? We saw a brighter between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, talking about whether or not to say a brocha shechianu or tofa meitiv, whichever one is appropriate. When a person acquires a second item of the same thing, what's the answer? So it depends on two versions of the brighter, which version we follow. We then had a second brighter, which was between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And that brighter appeared to go like the first version, but we also managed to fit it into the second version too, so we were none the wiser at the end. Now, in order to fit it into the second version, the difference in the okimta. What's the okimta? Akimta is a Torah word. It's worth knowing. It's a Gemara word. Akimta means the framework which you set it up, the situation. What's the akimta here? What are we talking about? What's going on? So the akimta in version 1 was a gift followed by a purchase. The akimta in version 2 was a purchase followed by a purchase. In basic. So in order for us to fit in Rabbi Yochanan, we had to explain to why it was that the brighter was that the second version, which would talk about an akimta of a purchase followed by a purchase, why that didn't follow the brighter of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we said, was identical to the first version, where they're talking about a gift followed by a purchase. So the Gemara, or Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan, is explaining the reason why that second version was set up in the way it was, a purchase followed a purchase, was in order to tell you, no, reverse, the reason why Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda set their brighter up in a different way to me, says Rabbi Yochanan. The reason why they did it that way was in order to teach you the strength of Rabbi Meir, how strong Rabbi Meir's view was, that even in the case of a gift followed by a purchase, so it's your first purchase, even in that case, Rabbi Meir says, no, I don't say a brocha. Even though it's my first purchase, a strong view. And then So then the Gemara says, okay, that's fair enough. The way you taught it, the way that brighter taught it between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, has the benefit that we learn the strength of Rabbi Meir. However, why not at the page 68 now? Say Se'a Samach. Let's go back to now to the wording of the Gemara. Beliflugu, the last thin line on Samach, Amud Aleph, Beliflugu. Beliflugu Bekana. So first of all, Rabbi Yochanan explains the reason why Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir argued in the Okimta that they argued, and they didn't argue in my form, was in order to show you the strength of Rabbi Meir, that even in the case of a gift followed by a purchase, he wouldn't say it. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, I learned a good chiddush, a strength, the power of Rabbi Meir's position. However, liflugu bakana, b'chazav bakana, why not make the argument, liflugu, bakana b'chazav bakana, where they bought and they went and bought again. The ein sarich levarech. And the position that you don't need to say a bracha. And then Lodia Kocho the Rabbi Yehuda, and then you would have learned Rabbi Yehuda's strength. What's he saying? Saying like this. Ready. The writer says. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Gift, then buy, no bracha. Gift, then buy, yes bracha. Okay, so that's what we had. And so the first thing is that Rabbi Yochanan, or the Gemara, whichever way you want to look at it, says the reason why it doesn't follow my version, which was the buy and the buy, right? The Okimta in the version 2 of the Gemara wasn't gift then buy, it was buy then buy. And so the Rabbi Yochanan says the reason why they didn't follow parallel to the second writer, my second version, if I'm trying to support the second version, is because this way I learned the strength of Rabbi Meir. Right, that we don't make a bracha, even though it's my first purchase, I don't make a bracha. He's very lenient, he doesn't make a bracha. Right? I'm going to put in here brackets, very lenient. Right? I learn the leniency, the power, that you don't need to make a bracha, even if it's your first purchase. So the Gemara says, okay, but why not, that's very nice, you're learning out something new, but why not teach, right? Why not teach it like this? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Buy then buy, right? Why not make it like version 2? Buy then buy, right? For sure, Rabbi Meir is saying no bracha, right? For sure, right? No bracha. But here, the chiddush would be Rabbi Yehuda would say yes, bracha. And that is the chiddush. Very machmir. Right? That even after you buy it and then you buy it again, doesn't matter, buy it 500 times, you still make a bracha, right? And then you've got the strength of Rabbi Yehuda. So, okay, very nice, you've got the strength of Rabbi Meir here, and that's a very good reason why you might want to teach it in this version. But why not teach it in the second version? You could also argue, right, you can't say the reason why the brighter was written in this form is because it wanted to teach me the strength of Rabbi Meir. You're right, that's fine, it could have been that's the reason. But I can come back to you with an argument and say, no, if you taught it the other way, you would have also got a strength. So it doesn't mean that doesn't help you. You can't say that's the reason why it doesn't parallel version 2. Because it wanted to teach me something that it couldn't teach me. You're right, it couldn't have taught me that otherwise. But it still could have taught me something else that's equally valid to teach. So you don't have a reason why it doesn't parallel the second version, like Rabbi Yochanan wants to say in the second version, that his version is also good. Okay. You got that? Yeah? Fine enough? Okay, so, and then the last line, of this sugya, and then we're done, says, Koach de hetera adifle. The koach of a heter is preferable. You're right. It could have been taught in two ways. And either way would have given me a koach of one side of the argument or the other. But you know what? Koach of a heter is preferable. If you're going to have to teach one of them, teach the heter. Teach the leniency rather than the strictness. Right? Hashkophically, it's a drosha. You can use it in Shabbos table. Hashkophically, if you've got the choice of learning out a leniency or learning out a chumrah, then the Gemara prefers to teach you leniencies. We want to teach you leniency. We don't want to have to teach you chumras if we've got the choice. Because this one's a leniency, so he can validly say that the brighter was preferably written in this, although it could have been written in that way. And because it could have been written in that way, so it would have followed version 2. And the only reason it didn't follow version 2 is because they wanted to write it in the way of version 1, because it's a leniency. It brings out a leniency that otherwise he wouldn't have got.
What is the halakha? Not from here, but I mean.
On what you make. So what do we learn when we look at the Shulchan Aruch? We learned that you make a bracha, yeah, every time, if it's new for you and you get happiness from it.
Every time. So we don't follow the leniency.
Interestingly not. That's a good point. Interestingly not, we don't follow the leniency. Nachon. Yeah. If you have a car and you go and buy a new car, so you say Shafiano, or have a tomato. Right, you don't say, oh no, I hold by the lenient opinion of Rabbi Meir. Even Dafka, yeah, Dafka, we go to the other far side, buy then buy. It's not even that we go to the stage 2 in the middle. What's my? Yeah, so the good, you knock on. So the footnote here in mind, footnote 11 says there's a dispute between the commentators whether or not actually not saying a bracha is actually lenient. Right, is that being lenient? So on the face of it, you can say it's lenient because you don't have to say bracha, right? You're not obligated. It means that it's leniency. Yeah. But he wants to say here that I don't know. I can't. My eyes are not following me.
Should be accumulating bracha.
What's the problem here? He says the problem here is that the if in doubt, normally if in doubt you don't say a bracha because it's a bracha levatala. So really to be lenient or to be machmir means you don't say the bracha. Right? You shouldn't say the bracha really, because it's in doubtful whether or not I need to say it. So it's more machmir to say, don't say the bracha. Because we don't want to say a bracha levatala. It's lenient in that case to say, no, don't worry about it, say it, it's fine. And there's also a secondary discussion about whether or not this argument is about an obligation to say the bracha or a permission to say the bracha. Right? Are you permitted nonetheless to say it if you want to, if you get great joy, but you're obligated according to these opinions? That's the obligation. It's not the permission. So maybe even Rabbi Meir would be delighted to say a bracha, but he says you don't have to.
Okay,
so there's a difference between obligation and permission?
Yes. One view of the commentators is that there could be. It's not for sure that there is. But it's a suggestion that it could be.
That wasn't brought up, except by
the... Nahon, it's just in the footnote.
Who
I just read it in the footnote.
Rashi?
No.
Does Rashi say anything?
It's in...
Apparently...
Doesn't they have 10 suits? For him, it's nothing in
the...
Nahon.
You're not picturing
him. No, exactly. So it should be... For him, it should be Nahon. So according to the person.
To
no, well, so, but we see, it's interesting because we do see brachot. Usually, laws don't go by the person, right? They go by the nation.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter for you whether you like fender or you don't like fender or you, right? But food and brachas of neheneh, enjoyment, go by the person because they're on enjoyment. If you enjoyed it, but if you didn't, so you didn't. Right, so we see, like, for example, when you have Iker and Toffel, you can go by what you like. You like the chocolate or you like the wafer, right?
Let's say you have to sell your big car. Yeah. Now you have to buy your small car. Because you're not happy with it. Then because it was a nice car.
No.
So you don't make Sharia.
Well, it depends. There you would say, I would think, you would say both, Kilu, because just like the death of the father, something unhappy happens, you have to sell your car, but then you buy a new one. Like your father died, someone's father dies, and then they get an inheritance, so they're not happy. The answer is they are happy. They're not happy, he died, but they for sure are happy to get the... Right, you can't not be happy. Right, the Gemara is telling you, trust me, you're happy. I know you're really upset, you're going to be upset for the next year about your father, and you're not even thinking about the money, but nonetheless, there is something very good for you about getting that. So,
yeah, but when it's 10 suits...
The main thing is the will.
Right, yeah, okay, right, someone. After the will, no, it's a pun on the English language, don't worry.
Money you get from,
the will means.
The car itself, the will.
Yeah. So, when, and for sure, when families fight over an inheritance, it's very bitter. No enjoyment, no better, but they would still have, okay, Tov, that's the end of that sugya.
Like lions.
That's the end of that sugya. Okay. So next section of the Mishnah. In wide lines. Mepareach al hara'ah. Yofi, now we're getting into real Brezhnev territory. Person makes a bracha on the ra'ah. Chayav Adam Leverech al Hara'ah, reading from the Mishnah on page Mandalad al Nawaz. Chayav Adam Leverech al Hara'ah, a person is obligated to bless for the bad. Kishem Shem Leverech al Tova. I'm reading from the Mishnah. Just like he blesses on Kishem, it's interestingly, Kishem Shem Leverech. In the way he blesses, in the name, but just like Kishem, Nun Dalad Amud Aleph, in the five lines down in the wide lines. Maybe more, 10 lines. 7 or 8 lines. Top. Right? How do we know? And the Mishnah, interestingly, it's not often, we see it here again, but we don't often see it, that the Mishnah brings supporting proof. Usually the Mishnah doesn't, that's not the job of the Mishnah to bring the supporting proof. The Mishnah just tells you the rule and then you have to learn it out in the Gemara. So over here the Mishnah is bringing its proof. Shneimar, like it says, V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavacha. V'chol levavacha. Not only does it bring you the pasuk, it then explains the pasuk. V'chol levavacha. What does it mean, v'chol levavacha? B'shnei yitzarecha. With your two inclinations. The bad and the good. Why? Because levav, it's not levcha, You would expect b'chol libcha, with all your heart. B'chol lev. Lev is your heart. So with all your heart, the simple way would be levcha, libcha, right? Your heart. But now we say levavavacha, right? What's the double lashon? To tell you there's two things, there's two. You've got a right ventricle and a left ventricle. You've got a right half and a left half. You've got two yetzerim in your heart. Huh? No, I'm just breaking that up. Huh? What?
What you just said.
No, sorry. Back into the Gemara. What's Gemara say? V'chol nafshecha, and all your soul, afilu hu notelet nafshecha. So here, I think at this point, he's now going on to give a bigger drasha. I'm not sure that this is part of the original. Right, the original argument wanted to explain to me, how do I know that I need to bless on the bad the same I bless on the good? And we learn that from the whole, I think, my understanding is, that we learn that from the whole of Avacha. You bless on the bad as well as the same for the good. Why? Because you've got, because you need to have to love Hashem, b'chol avacha, with your good and with your bad. The same thing. So I think my understanding is that that's cleared up the answer. But now, nonetheless, the Mishnah's on a roll, so it says, so it's carrying on and saying, u'b'chol nafshecha, while we're there, we may as well explain, and b'chol nafshecha, what's that for? That means all your soul. Afilu hu notel, notel et nafshecha, even if he takes your soul. You need to love Hashem, even if he takes your soul. Right, even at Mesirat Nefesh. If you have to give your life for Mesirat Nefesh, still have to love Hashem for that. Right? And what's the third one? U'b'chol mo'adecha. So b'chol mo'adecha, what does that mean? So two explanations. Either it means b'chol mamonecha, all your money, all your wealth, which is the hardest of all of them to try and give to Hashem. What? I give you my life, but don't touch my bank account. Right?
Jack
people
Bennett.
Are very serious about that. Right? It's the hardest. The Vilna Gaon says that this is, that these three, b'chol lavavachom, nashachom, b'chol lavavecha, are the course of history of Am Yisrael. So at the beginning, Am Yisrael served Hashem b'chol lavavecha, with all their heart. They were mamash, everything was for Hashem. Then afterwards, they came to b'chol nafshecha. They didn't serve with their heart anymore. Nobody had it to actually serve Hashem with avodat Hashem and fire and whatever. So they did it b'chol nafshecha. Everyone was dying and pogroms and holocausts and whatever, right? Right, left and center, right? And now at the end, the first, third and final one, which will be the hardest, will be b'chol mamonecha. Will be, b'chol mo'adecha, meaning, says Vilna Gaon, b'chol mamonecha, with all your money. You're going to have to give all your money and everything you have, you're going to have to give up for Hashem. And that will be the test of the final generation. That's what he says.
Like making all we are.
That people do that, like to give up your career, to give up, right? Everybody to their own extent, right? Even like if you're going to keep Shabbos, so you kind of give up not being the best in your office, not earning the most amount of money. You have to give stuff up. Give up to wear a kippah in the office. Right? You have to. Or everyone at some point is giving up to give tzedakah, to come to Chutz Shalhesa, to give up your job completely. Right? Right? Everyone is giving up something at some point.
There's no solution. You give from yourself tzedakah, not Hashem, and not take your money.
Well, it depends what person's doing it. Like, doing it.
Yesterday I read in a book of Garden of Wisdom, Bush writes about ants. Ants, they not take something what belongs to the other ant.
Okay.
They take only what not belongs to them. So when you have ants in your house, means you are stealing. You're stealing.
Ants.
So it means you steal. So let's see, we have a lot of ants. So we call the. So let's see, we make it good. What can be? Maybe I'll give the master 100%, the 10%. I make the bracha correct because you can steal. You know, when you eat something, you steal. So, checking now.
Thank you.
Because I killed all the friends.
Look, you're talking about the classic joke, the money of your life, Jack Benny's being held up, and the robber says, your money or your life, let me think about it.
And then he says, money of my wife?
No, that's Rodney Dangerfield.
Tell the wife.
That's no question.
Why
would
they
got
money?
No.
Yofi. So the Gemara, so that's the first version. So Mechom Odecha either means Mo'odecha. Why do you get money from that? Mo'od, the fact you've got, particularly that applies in our generation, Mo'od, you've got much, you've got a lot, too much. All that muchness that you have, all that excess, all that stuff that you don't need, give it up. You don't need that extra skiing holiday. You don't need that
15 suits.
That people carrier with gas guzzling monster four wheel drive, with the little video that you can watch TV while you're meant to be driving, which is the most crazy thing I've ever seen. Have you seen that? I see it. I'm on the bus, and occasionally I look out the window, which is probably a bad thing to do, but occasionally I do. You see cars driving by, and now some of the flashy new cars have a little screen, which used to just be what's that called? The
GPS.
The GPS thing. Instead of being GPS, it's now a video monitor, and they can watch TV. So my brother-in-law in the UK before we left bought himself a BMW. Oh, want to do that. And he had one of those things. But he had, it was with a video screen there instead of where the GPS is. But he had, it was by law, that it cut out every time you're driving. And the screen only came up when you stopped, like at the lights or whatever, and then the TV, right? And then it cut out. As soon as you started moving, it cut out. But now, I'm watching these guys. And the guy's just watching TV. I mean, never mind being on the phone. They're watching TV.
One time it's chicken. When
the
police
Yeah.
With the phone. Well, what do they catch you when you're watching TV? I don't know.
They take away your license. Right. Because it's even more dangerous.
Anyway, all ma'adecha, all the stuyot things that we don't need, give them up. And anyone listening on the tape from wherever you are in the world, if you have one of those things, give it up. Give it up. Turn it off, give it up, give it away. Save yourself and everybody else who's on the motorway.
No, I can't. It's TV. I was hot. To go out was so difficult.
Right, to cancel the
contract, so difficult.
They called me up. I used to live in Modi'in when we first moved here, 7-8 years ago. And we had, and I worked from home. So we had internet access. And we actually had two, because I had, both me and my wife had separate businesses. And there was two forms of internet access. One was cable and one was, don't know, the other one.
ADSL.
Right? So we got one of each because we had so important jobs that if one went down, because these things were always going down, then the other one would for sure be fine. And we were making a lot of money, Baruch Hashem, at that point. We thought we were. So we'll get one of each. So we got hot and we got, and the other one. I know, we got two. We got one from, you had that line, I heard that line.
Hal and Desert.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Tom, I thought we left one year, I don't know, how many years ago, 5-6 years ago? Right, we there for like, there for a year and a half. I thought I got rid of it. They tracked me down four and a half, five years later to tell me that I was still owed a debt and I hadn't returned their little box. I hadn't used it in 4 years. Who knew you had to return the box? Right, when you signed up. I just signed up, paid the direct debit, cancelled direct debit when I finished. I said, oh, I'm finished. You're free with that. No, I had to return the box. But obviously, I haven't got the box now. I mean, 5 years ago, I never used it. So they chased me down, found me. I don't know where they found it. Anyway, very hot. And then it wasn't so easy to cancel it. They had to keep going. Well, let me just cancel it. No, you know what? You can give it to someone else. Maybe see if somebody else wants to take it off. Yeah, hold on again. We'll give you a special offer if you want to continue. I'm like, don't use it. She couldn't understand the fact that I didn't use the internet at home. Everybody uses the internet at home, for sure. Well, tell me what service you're doing, I'll beat it. No, trust me, I don't.
It's the same in credit card. I don't have a credit card, but you listen for things you need a credit card. You not get, let's say, telephone. Then what we could do, they won't not pay cash.
Tov. Okay.
That took me 3 weeks to get this solved with the West Cellcom.
Tov. I had to use a friend's credit card recently. Okay, Devar Acher. Alternatively, instead of the whole Mo'odecha coming from the word Mo'od, meaning lots, right? You have to serve Hashem with all everything that you've got in excess. B'chol Mo'odecha, what does that mean? B'chol Midah v'Midah. Take out the Aleph, and you've got Midah, Mo'odecha. I guess that's the derivation. Midah v'Midah, Shehu Mo'odecha. That he gives. You have to serve Hashem with all your Midot. So again, the second explanation, they originally served Hashem with their heart, Kol Levavacha, Am Yisrael, used to be very strong, very heart, everything Hashem, from here, not from here, no. Just from their heart. Right, then we lost that, we didn't have, that's the times of the Torah, the Gemara, right? Then after that, when we went into Babel, so we had to start, when we went into Galut, so then we started getting killed by anyone who wanted to kill us, unfortunately. So that was Mesivat Nefesh. B'chol Nafshecha. And now at the end, what's our fixing? Midot. We don't see in the Gemara, people really, like, you imply from the Gemara that they had good Midot, but you don't see, right, all the Muslim movement and all the working on the Midot is only recent. It's only apparently recently, certainly in the text. Before then, there was no, concept of sitting down with your inner child and working out, you know, your emotional, right? That's all now. That's Midah v'Midah. So now, in these generations, working on Midot, why? I don't know.
Well, the Musa generation started about 150 years ago.
And that was a new thing. When that came in, it was like, woo, it was like working on Midot. It was like, that was a revolution, the Muslim movement. If it's a revolution, means that it really wasn't before. It can't be revolution if everyone says, yeah, we've been doing this for years. What are you talking about? No, no one said that. They said, wow, look at these guys. Working on themselves. Breaking their Yetzirah and having good Midot. And, right? So this is you. So Mahol Modet. So Midah Midah. So that's our test. Because we know that we can't... We know we can't learn Torah. We can't have Avodat Hashem from the heart. Just not there. We're dead now. We're dead. We're like, hello. Anyone in there? Like, you know, what's going on in there? I've had some emotions, and occasionally something will come out, but it's not.
The emotions from the movies.
So, right, I'm Masivat Nefesh. I've got the Masivat Nefesh, not real Masivat Nefesh. Like, not to, you know, I need my bed, I need my coffee, I need my three meals a day, and then I need some snacks in between the meals. I've got Masivat Nefesh. I can't do Masivat Nefesh. I've got no power for Masivat Nefesh. But what do I have power to do? What do I have? Midot. Things I can work on. Give me, I know the easy stuff, the hard stuff, the easy stuff, right? When, is it Rabbi Nachman says? I don't know, someone says, it's easier to learn the whole of Shas than to change one Midot. So maybe this is the hard thing, to work on your Midot. Maybe that's the hardest thing, I don't know. Or maybe you say no. I mean, for us, if you ask me, it seems like the easiest thing. Meaning, it's hardest to actually achieve in practice, but to just sit here and like, okay, I'm going to try and, Hashem, please don't make me angry anymore. I don't have to suffer, put it that way. It's not, I don't have to go out into the forest in the freezing nights and work out, maybe I do it to Midot, I don't know. It's just a question in my head whether or not it's the easiest of the three or the hardest of the three to work on Midot.
Yeah. It's easy to
learn Torah. No, that's not really learning Torah. Now I'm talking about what are the options to serve Hashem with your heart, really, to serve Hashem with Nesirut Nefesh, really, or to work on your Midot.
In our generation,
we haven't got a choice. We've only got this.
With your soul, with your wife. Anti-Semitism is getting to be a point where it's getting back to be the 1930s again.
Nachon, you're right, but the people, but in the 40 years before Rabbi Nachman was born, in the city of Uman, where 40,000 people gave up their lives. That wouldn't happen today. If Obama says to the Jews in the States, right, that's it. We're going to kill you here and now, or eat the cheeseburger, or whatever he's going to say to them.
They're already eating the cheeseburger.
No, exactly what I'm saying.
Don't take the money. It's not going to happen.
Of the 4.4 million Jews, you only have approximately 800,000 Jews that are actually keeping any kind of mitzvahs. The others are either intermarried,
walking dead, or zombies. But even the ones who are keeping, right? And there are people who are Lakewood, there's a million people in Lakewood, something like that. There's a huge number, right, etc. And all those places, Borough Park, and whatever. But we don't have the Mesirut Nefesh. Because if we would have had Mesirut Nefesh, they wouldn't be over there in Lakewood, they'd be over here.
Right.
Because it takes Mesirut Nefesh to come here. And if someone is fired up with Judaism and you want to do Hashem's will, so you're going to come here, except for the fact that I haven't got the Mesirut Nefesh, I can't leave all this and just go there to somewhere. That's the Mesirut Nefesh to come.
But, you know, with Obama, I mean, he does have this good point. Which is Obamacare, he's driving all the doctors here, and...
I don't know if you want them.
And... with Obamacare, if they're doing the same thing that they're doing in England, they have a program where once you're signed up in 36 hours, you're dead.
Very nice. Yofi. Okay. Tov.
And I'm not even talking about the FEMA death camps.
Sir, Yofi. Okay. So let's get back to our Mishnah. Because actually now our Mishnah, we didn't finish the end of that final one. Right, we have the whole of Avacha, right, which seems to be the answer to the first one, the answer to the question. The question was, how do I know that I need to bless Hashem for the good equally well as for the bad? So I said the answer to that was, the Mishnah says, the answer is, b'chol v'avacha, you see this, sh'ne'emar, v'ahavta et Hashem lokecha b'chol v'avacha, etc. So you learn it from b'chol v'avacha, you need to serve him with your two hearts, with your good inclinations and your bad, when things are going well or things are not going well. You need to serve him with both. Therefore, you can learn out that this is the source of the rule that you need to bless him for the good and for the bad. That's what I suggested. And then I said, the whole nafshecha, they just added on, because now we're talking about that same pasuk. By the way, what's nafshecha mean, and what does mordecha mean? But at the end of mordecha now, we're going to see, he said, the devarcheh, the second option was, what's b'chol mo'odecha? B'chol midah v'midah. Shehu mo'odecha, with every midah. And then it says at the end, havei mo'odelo. You are to thank him. So it may mean, that with every midah and midah you are to thank him. Meaning death, and now we've got thanking Hashem for the good and for the bad. Thank you for my yetzer, thank you for being angry, thank you for being upset, thank you for... everything. So it could be also understood, maybe, that the proof is not just the whole of Avacha, the proof is even including or only, maybe, I don't know how you want to say it, could make your own opinion on what the proof is here, from the last one as well. But again, only in the second explanation. In the second explanation, so maybe you can't say it, because then you've only got one. You've got one side that says the whole mo'odecha means midah v'midah, but the other side says no, the whole mo'odecha means all your money, and then you don't have this explanation of thanking him for the good and the bad. So then you would have to fall back on the first explanation, which is the whole levavach.
Thank him if you have it, thank him if you don't
have it. You can say it with your life too. Where I have to serve Hashem with my life means that even if things and I have to give up my life, it's also good.
But when you see in your list, with all your power, there's included your soul and the heart. Because it's your money. My money is connected to the heart. The heart is connected.
Yeah, connected, but different. I mean, clearly, the pasuk clearly split them up. has different things. The Chol Levavacho, Nafshecho, Modecha. And then the Gemara's, the Mishnah said, and this means this, and this means this. So they definitely split them, even though they're you could say this is connected.
Well, thank you for the bad. You have several good examples nowadays.
Are you trying to bring Obama back in here?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
No. Last year, when you had 8 days of, 1,600 missiles hitting Israel from
yes.
Gaza, we did an incredible amount of distribution of CDs and books and everything else like that.
That's interesting. Right, cause what do you say when they're firing missiles? When they're firing missiles and they miss, what bracha do you make on that? Don't know. They're firing at me, but they miss.
Interesting. But the whole idea is that...
But that's what the Gemara can actually say now.
Hamas is not missing. They're being hit out of the ballpark by the angels. And I don't mean the Oakland Angels, or wherever they are now.
Right.
I'm talking 100%. About the real angels.
100%.
And also, when you had 17,000 Frenchmen protesting in the streets in Paris in the rain, screaming, Jews, get out of France, this is not your country, we're going to turn you into dumplings and, you know, show chicks. No, these are Frenchmen. They were...
They're also angels from Hashem coming to give a message.
Yeah, it's like, it's time to come home.
Okay.
They have no French. It's 80%
Arabs. Yeah, there's only no French left. Tough. There's one guy left. Mevarech al hara. So, okay. The Gemara says that you need to make you need to bless on the bad, like you will bless on the good. So now, the Gemara says, Heichi dami, what's this like? What's an example of this, that you have to bless? Ah, so he's saying here, even, hold on, let me go back to the Mishnah. He's saying here, he's saying here, it's not in the Mishnah, but he's implying it in. He's implying it in that something that is bad, even if it has the potential to be good. We're going to look now in the Mishnah and the Gemara about two different types of event. Something that is bad but has the potential to be good. Something that is good that has the potential to turn out badly. We're going to see an example of each, of what they mean. But we're going to see that you make the bracha according to how it starts out. What happens afterwards is not in your control, it's in Hashem's hands. Right? So whatever it starts off as, you say Baruch Dynamet, or you say Baruch Atogamated, according to how it first presents itself. Even though it's quite possible it could all switch. And even though at the time it happens, you know that. You're aware of the potential good or the potential bad that's going to come. So what's an example? Hachidami, what's an example of something bad that could turn out well? Kagon, the Shakal Bidka Ba'aria. For example, if a flood swept through his land, right? If there was a torrential rainstorm, and the water flooded all of his field. Afal gav de tavahi ledide. Even though it's good for him eventually. Right? Because his field's going to get very nice water. Right? Right now, why?
Different.
Okay. Actually, the Quran says here, Damaska ara sirton b'shavcha. Because the land will accumulate sediment and improve. Hashta, right now, miha ra'ahi. Right now it's bad for him, right? Because he just lost all his crops. So even though it's going to be good, right now it's bad. So you make both dynamite. Right? You make the ruling on the bad. Which is interesting, because we're not actually... Because the Mishnah, has not, on bad taste, about so what to vote, both dynamites. No, we did learn that. Right, we learned that earlier. The what you say, you say both dynamites, that's it earlier in the Mishnah. So we know what to say, because it doesn't say here what you say in the Mishnah. It just says you bless with the good light, these bless with the bad. Okay, what's the opposite of something that's good that could turn out bad? Ala tova. Heichi dami, what's an example of that? Kagon da ashkach metzia, like you found a metzia, something that was lost, a lost sum of money. You found a big chest of gold coins. Right? It's a good thing. Afal gav, even though the ra'a hiladi day, that it could be bad for him. Why? The ishma ba malka, because if the king hears about it, shakil lamine, he's going to take it all from him. Right? The king is going to take it all from him. Either the king is going to take it all from him, and he's going to feel bad. The king's not even going to take that, he's going to take everything else. Or he's going to kill him, he's going to take his money, he's going to take him. Right? Because now he's going to come to the attention of Kiilu, the king. Hashtami hatovahi, however, right now it's good for him. It hasn't happened yet. They haven't come looking for him yet. Right? A person who wins the lottery and gets 20 million, they're in big trouble. Their life is about to take a huge nosedive. Right, but right now, they're enjoying themselves. So right now they say, Shechianu, even though it's all going to turn out, unfortunately, it's likely to turn out very not so good.
Unfortunately, they'll probably be dead within a year.
Right, or as Rabbi Yarkov says, they'll probably be dead within a year. They'll probably be dead within a year. Parent friend. Yes. Top. That will be the modern day version of this example in the Quran. How are we doing time wise? 2 minutes. Okay. Now, interestingly, this seems to be a bit out of order, because next we go to the Mishnah that actually came before this Mishnah. We kind of skipped a bit of the Mishnah, and we seem to go back. So it may just be that it was more fitting to write the Tovamative stuff next to the previous Sugya, which was also about Tovamative. So it went better with the flow of the Gemara. But we actually skipped a bit of the Mishnah, and now we're going back. So the Mishnah prior to this part was talking about bracha levatala, a bracha that you make, a prayer, in fact, a prayer that you make, not even a bracha, but a prayer that you make that is in vain. What's a prayer that you make in vain? A prayer that you make, it's something that you can't affect. If you can affect it, it's a good prayer. But if you can't affect it, then it's a prayer in vain. And the Mishnah itself gave an example of this. We're going to see another example now. Another couple of examples in the Gemara, but the Mishnah itself gave an example. What's the example? You come home from another town and you hear a screaming in the village. Something terrible's happened, coming from one of the homes in your neighborhood. It's coming from, and you make a prayer, Hashem, please, if that's not coming from my home. That's a bracha levatala, because wherever it's coming from, it's coming from. Right? It's already happened, it's done. You can't say now, I hope that's not going to be coming from my home, because that's not the future. You can't. It's only the prayers about the future that Hashem will change something and the future will change. You can't change the past. Please make that be that it wasn't. It's already done. So that's a prayer levatala. Right? So that's what the Mishnah comes to teach. You can't do that. That's a prayer levatala. Okay? So, now we're going to look at a different type of prayer levatala. So also taken, the other example in the Mishnah is the example that the Gemara is now going to look at. So the other example given is a wife is pregnant. And the Mishnah gives the example, may it be your will, Hashem, that my wife gives birth to a boy. She's already pregnant. The Mishnah says, that's a prayer levatala. It is what it is. No point praying Hashem that it's going to be a boy. Wherever it is, if the boy's in there, he's in there. He's not going to metamorphose supernaturally into a girl.
But
right, so it's a bracha in vain to pray. We're going to see it's not exactly that, because the Gemara is going to challenge you and say, wait a minute, that's not similar. I'm going to see why that's not exactly the case, but the pshat of the Mishnah, is that once it's there, it's there. There's no point praying for something different.
Same as the previous one, actually.
Same as the previous example.
Yeah, let's say actually the sex was determined from the beginning. It's already passed. It doesn't matter what you pay for the future.
In that way, it's the same. You could say it's different because this is hidden. This is hidden. It's unknown. And because it's unknown, you could say there's room for Hashem to change it, because we don't know. I mean, now we've got ultrasound, but they didn't. But so, for example, you know, you could say, right, other things that we rely on that we don't yet know the answer to, but whatever the answer is, if the answer's there, but we just haven't learnt it yet. So is it correct for me to pray on something that I don't know about? So we see, no, it's not. Because the answer is known to someone, I'm taking my driving test, right? The driving instructor knows whether or not he's failed or passed me. I just haven't got it in the post yet. No point praying for the next 3 weeks, Hashem, it should be that I passed. Hashem, it should be that I passed. That would be a bracha levatala, because you either passed or failed, and that was 3 weeks ago after you took the test. And it's known, it's done. You can't change. It's not in the envelope going to change. Right? That's a bracha levatala.
Right, but before you take the test.
Before, for sure, yeah. Even before he's decided, if you've got a court case and you have the court case and a judge hasn't yet decided, so for sure, pray. I finish my testimony. Hashem, please let it be that I get off this and it's free, right? Because he hasn't yet made up his mind. So there's what to pray about. Hashem can change his mind. But after he's made his mind, and I just don't know yet, don't worry, Hashem, make it that it won't be bad for me. It is what it is. I mean, I'm still praying it that Hashem, whatever the judgment is, I should be happy about it. But still, other things to pray for, but not to change the judgment. So here we said the pshat is that the Mishnah says once a woman is pregnant, that appears to be a done deal, and there's no point praying because it's not going to change anything. And if you pray now, it's just a prayer levatala, right? If you pray that it's a boy or a girl, because that's already decided. So, Tov, we'll carry on for a couple of minutes, I guess, until Machavuta shows up, even though we're just past 10, or till Mordechai comes. No, let's do it tomorrow.
Yeah, they do cover the question I had.
Yeah.